Sankhya Yoga, Karma Yoga. After doing all practices, Srila Prabhupada says, after doing whatever you love most, said that without bhakti, without remembering Govinda, all knowledge is useless. Shankaracharya said, Samprapte Sannihite Kale Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukhran Karane. All the a pathologist to a medical doctor. But knowing your disease, that you have the following problem, just knowledge of the fact that you have these problems is not going to help you. Unless you take the pathological report and go to a doctor, it is the medicine which will, intake of the medicine which is going to cure your basic disease. So very, very simple yet very powerful example given by Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada says, don't simply be happy just understanding the metaphysics of the material world, how the material world operates, big philosophy. Rather, our endeavor must be to try to take the medicine of Sankirtan Yajna and try to get out of this material world. Again, Srila Prabhupada mentions an interesting story, the story of a boatman and a scientist in Bengal, a great scholarly scientist in Bengal. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions that in Bengal, quite a bit of commuting happens through the medium of the boat, right? At least, it is still prevalent, but it used to happen even more in the olden days. So, this scientist, this scholarly person came to take a boat and he started speaking with the boat. Works. Do you have? So the scholar was very disappointed with this reply. He said that, dear boatman, do you know that you are wasting your life? You should know how all these things operate. Don't be so ignorant of things. You have wasted 25% of your life. 25% of your life is lost. Then he says, okay, I understand you may not know about the stars and the moon, but at least do you know about the land where you are living in? Have you done some study of geology? Do you have some understanding of the water? The nature of water that you are riding upon day in and day out. So the boatman said, no, I never really thought about it all this life. I don't know. So he says, I'm so disappointed. Another 50% of your life you have wasted. What is the point in your life, living? So as this discussion was going on, what happened? There was a big cyclone that hit, the weather changed. And now the boatman asked the scholar, scientist, do you know how to swim? And he said, no, I don't know how to swim. The boatman said, I know how to swim, but therefore your life is 100% lost. So this is a very simple example given by Srila Prabhupada to emphasize the fact that more important than big knowledge and big philosophical discussions on yoga is the simple activity of sincerely performing our duties in Sankirtan Yajna, developing love of Godhead, and then escaping the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. So in the poetic composition called as Prema Vivarta, there is a very famous song which says, Janame Janame Saba Pita Mata Paya Krishna Guru Nahi Mile Bhaja Hari E. Which means, everywhere either you take birth as a man or cat or dog or insect. Wherever you may take birth, in any species of life you may take birth, you are guaranteed at least of a father and a mother, because otherwise you cannot take birth in this world. Okay, so in any species, father and mother is anyway guaranteed. But in no birth other than the human form of life are you guaranteed Guru and Krishna, which is your spiritual father. Spiritual father is not, it is not possible to get in any other, it is not possible to seek out a spiritual father in any form of life. One can still get, an animal can also get the mercy of a Vaishnava. But an animal does not have the required maturity to go and seek out a spiritual master. There are very few examples of that. For example, when Maharaj Bharat was attached to a deer in the next lifetime, he had to take the form of a deer, but he sought out devotee association. But that was a pastime. But in normal life, we don't see such pastimes happening. So it is only during the human form of life that we can get Guru and Krishna. Therefore, human birth is the only chance where, despite being born as a Shudra, because Kalau Shudra Sambhava, even if we are born in a supposed Brahmanical family, okay, the activities neither of our ancestors nor of us would have been highly Brahminical, okay, for most of us. Okay, some of you maybe yes. So therefore, human birth, when we are born, called as the Diksha Samskara, where we get a second life at that. So Prabhupada writes, initiation means second life. So only in a human form of life do we have a chance to get this second life, despite being born in a low Varna. So, Srila Prabhupada urges us to take full advantage of the human form of life. Now, how to increase the possibility of, or the chances of, remembering the Lord in this lifetime? So, one of my colleagues many years back, when I was discussing Krishna consciousness with him, this was in Japan around 2001. So he saw me chanting. So he asked me, why are you doing this? And he was from Bengal. I said, this is because Srila Prabhupada, who is from your Bengal, I said, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have said that we must chant. So his view was that, no. There is an age for all these things. This is not the time that we have to chant. This is the time to build our career. Not that. It is the preparation and death is the examination. Our life is the preparation and death is the examination. So at the time of examination, you cannot prepare. At the time of death. Having avoided God throughout your healthy life, it is not possible to do that. Because at death, we cannot get a choice of what comes to our mind and thinking. Because at the time of death, we are completely disoriented. We cannot expect that we make a mind attentively and remember Krishna. Then at the time of death, if Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya charham hridi sannivishto, mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So, which means, remembrance as well as forgetfulness comes by my Guru and Vaishnava recommend us when we have very good sadhana. So if we take care of, simply because the Vaishnavas will pray for us, and the Lord never disappoints the sincere plea of the Vaishnava community. So Prabhupada says in this purport that it is extremely difficult to keep focus on the Lord. Somewhere Prabhupada is writing that in today's purport. And this is something, our deity worship, we do our, then so many challenges start coming. The challenges of keeping the wife happy, the challenges of, and for the wife, the challenge of keeping husband happy, the challenges of paying mortgage, the challenges of raising Krishna conscious children, the fear that our children may lose their Krishna consciousness owing to outside influence, the fear of their material education, will they study, will they get a job, okay? Given the kind of business environment that currently we are in, it is said, like for example, I'm day in and day out involved in an intense transformational program for wherever I work. So there, the program itself is that we must try to automate as much as possible. So automate. This is what the industry is going to, are they going to live when there are not going to be many jobs around, right? So therefore, in one sense, as a grihastha, one has to, one is worried about that. I'm not talking about the Atmaramas or the Paramahamsas who may say that, everything, Krishna will take care. Obviously, because my personally, I am not a very surrendered soul. So therefore, it is very natural to have these kind of worries. Then we have to keep our children away from social dangers, keeping children away from bad association, maybe our children are brought up in a very nice environment, but outside environment where they have to go one day or the other and learn how to survive, there may be so many influences from friends, from boys, from girls, from so many people. Even when we go to office, for example, when the children go to office, even they have a successful job, a very good job, it still means that there will be pressure for coming for Friday night drinks, for example. And if you don't go for Friday night drinks, then automatically you will find that the team looks slightly differently at you. It's just not the same. Even when it comes to your promotions or growth or performance appraisals, the feedback is usually given that you're not gelling enough. So as devotees, we have to find very unique ways of avoiding that problem. So we socialize in a way such that we don't succumb to lower tastes. We stay away, aloof from those lower tastes, but we still give a perception that we are very social animals. So these skills have to be taught. Then there are teenage tantrums which children will throw. Then the question is, even if they are settled very well, when will they choose their life partners properly? Every mother is worried, will my son get a proper wife? Will my daughter get a proper husband? Then after all this, will my own job be intact? What about old parents? Who will take care of them? They are miles away, right? So these kind of worries will be there, because there is something called a midlife crisis that will come. You can neither be happy living in Australia nor we can be living happy being in India. For example, personally, and this is just, I'm not prescribing this appointment, personally, I can confidently say that our Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir is the best ISKCON temple in the world. Because I have seen various temples. Not that other temples are any less, but personally for me, it was Krishna's mercy on me that I was traveling all over the world. Of course, wherever I went, I got devotee association. Wherever my company sent me, there was a project. Incidentally, there was an ISKCON temple and a very well established ISKCON temple in those places. So, I have no complaints. But when I was suddenly asked to go to Melbourne from Canada, and when especially I was planning to settle down in India at that time, my boss told me that go for 3 months project. I promise you, I will not send you after that. So I very hesitatingly came here. But when I saw this great temple, which Prabhupada himself has established the deities here, and the kind of vibrancy this temple has, and the kind of the level of intense spiritual activities and discipline that goes on in this temple, definitely we decided that we are going to settle down here. Obviously, our prayers even now are, please don't throw us out of Melbourne. Every time I see Radha Vallabh deities, my prayer is, please don't throw me out of Melbourne. So by all your blessings, at least up until now, despite my own lack of qualification, that has been possible. But the question is that to be in Melbourne, we have to have our jobs also intact, right? So, and the job situation is extremely precarious. You work for long hours, they keep putting pressure on you, still they are not happy. And if the situation is now as such, we can just imagine 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, how is it going to be? So, if our complaint is, I am sitting late on the job, someone else's complaint is that I don't have a job, I am not even getting one. At least you have a job. So, in this kind of an atmosphere, sometimes we are just floating in our devotional life, doing just the basic compliance of chanting 4 regulative principles, which I will call as, within brackets, finishing our rounds. Okay, so at the bare minimum, we are doing compliance of finishing our rounds, and we are following the 4 regulative principles. If at all, something is there, this is the only thing we are able to do. And of course, some amount of preaching to others. But Prabhupada says, Ante Narayana Smriti, throughout whatever we do, even in our Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, how much are we really absorbed in Krishna? How much Rati, how much love have we generated in our hearts for Krishna? Amidst whatever we are doing, does our mind constantly flow towards Krishna all the time? Is a question. And the answer only we know and Krishna knows. Right? But Prabhupada is emphasizing here, unless that is happening now, unless we really struggle that should happen in our lives, it is extremely difficult that it will happen at the time of death. If the sincere struggle is not there at this point in time, how is it possible that at the end of lifetime one can suddenly expect that to happen? So, I was also hearing a lecture of another a spiritual master in ISKCON. He says that the way of doing it is what is in our sphere of influence is only disciplined chanting. Disciplined chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In his words, disciplined chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra helps one daily focus on God. Disciplined chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra helps one daily focus on God and increases the sadhaka's favorable remembrance of Lord. Why and how? Also, he is explaining. For many devotees, our understanding of spiritual perfection is largely theoretical. And we have no heartfelt aspiration to go back to the spiritual world. We have no heartfelt aspiration to go back to the spiritual world. Again, the test is, if Krishna were to come right now and tell us, I'm taking you now, the Pushpa Viman came for Dhruva Maharaj. If the Pushpa Viman comes right now, how many of us will sit is something which we only know. We may say, yes. What? Some people are raising their hands. Okay. But some others still may not raise their hand. They'll say, yes, I want to board this plane, my dear Lord, but at this point in time, what about my child? What about my son? What about my daughter? What about my husband? What about my parents? There are certain things that at least let me finish. At least let me write finishing a will. Okay. So, there are so many things that may come in the way. So, we have to really understand, do we really have a heartfelt aspiration such that if Krishna comes right now, unconditionally we will board the plane and then go back? Is the answer only we know. So, there has to be that desire, and that desire to go back is awarded by the Lord. It will only come by disciplined chanting and a sincere plea or a cry to the Lord when we chant. Because chanting does two things. It increases our focus on Krishna, and second thing is it purifies our aspirations. Right now our aspirations are not pure, and that's the problem. That's why the desire to go back is not there. So it purifies our aspiration and fills our heart with spiritual desires. So that is the power of chanting. Therefore, regular chanting helps us, will certainly help us one day attain the desire to attain Krishna's grace. And he said that success on the path of Bhakti Yoga, success on the path of Bhakti Yoga has more to do with our motivations becoming purer than with our becoming a great influential yogi. So, success in Krishna consciousness is not becoming an influential devotee. Success in Krishna consciousness is becoming an insignificant, simple devotee and still being happy that we are insignificant. So, that is the success of our sadhana. So, here in this verse, we see that Dhruva Maharaj, the sincerity of his desire and diligent sadhana. When we say sincerity of a desire, that the desire to approach Krishna and to have darshan of Krishna. Okay, that desire was very sincere and his sadhana was very diligent. And we see that he is being rewarded by the Lord here. So, just as Narad Muni did, Narad Muni designed this entire program for Dhruva Maharaj, his sadhana program for Dhruva Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, as the founder Acharya of ISKCON, also designed this whole yogic program for all of us, starting from 4:30 in the morning to 9:30 in the night, and maybe even after that, because the prasadam still is being served sometimes. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada's program is 24 hours program. Prabhupada has given us to remember Krishna as much as we can. And Prabhupada writes, on prasadam distribution, the second part, Prabhupada says that a devotee is paradukha dukhi. So, especially in the scriptures, it is mentioned, prema maitri kripa upeksha yaha karoti sa madhyama. So, a madhyama adhikari, a neophyte devotee is usually, neophyte means always fight. So, in the neophyte devotee, a neophyte is called as neophyte because most of the time a neophyte devotee is only obsessed with himself. Okay. Or a neophyte devotee's thought is that it is me and Krishna. I will ignore every other Vaishnava that is coming along the way. Okay. Whereas, as one progresses to the platform of Madhyama, one starts discriminating. A neophyte doesn't know how to discriminate. A uttamadhikari does not discriminate knowing how to discriminate. So it is a madhyamadhikari who knows how to discriminate and still discriminates also. And that is how madhyamadhikari is required to operate. Prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha. Love to the people, offers prema and service to people who are more advanced. Is friendly with equals and shows compassion for whoever is less spiritually realized than oneself by giving them kripa. So what is that kripa? Where does that kripa start? That kripa starts by giving prasadam. So prasadam is nothing but Krishna kripa being given to all the conditioned souls of this material world through the channel of a devotee's mercy. So Srila Prabhupada says that prasadam distribution must be done. Because by gradually consuming prasadam, a person who is very new to Krishna consciousness, the intelligence of such a person becomes purified, and then the person becomes more and more receptive to hear the subsequent messages of Godhead which are required for moving to the next platform in bhakti. So I was hearing one more lecture, you know, yesterday being Ekadashi, you know, I was hearing lectures throughout the day. I had this opportunity to work from home yesterday because of some event in my house. But I took this opportunity to hear one more lecture there. The lecturer was saying that he used to do university programs. And whenever he used to do university programs, only 5 out of 40 people used to come for hearing the lecture. Remaining 35 only came for prasadam. Okay. So he was saying that once when he went, the prasadam was slightly delayed by the temple. So he landed there. So usually he is welcomed with great pomp. But when he went this time, still they said that Hare Krishna Prabhuji, like that. And then there was a little bit of a concern. And in Hindi they asked him, Akele aaye ho kya aaj? Have you come alone? They said. So he said that, No, I usually come alone only every time. No, we are just thinking, you know, whether you came alone. So he understood. He said, oh, you've been prasadam? Oh, yes, Prabhu. No, don't worry, prasadam is coming. It is just slightly delayed today. So it is coming, don't worry. So this example is a very good example that to attract people initially, the only medium is through the belly. When prasadam goes through the tongue into the belly, then the intelligence gets purified. And of course, the speaker also said that many of them are now initiated devotees in ISKCON. But it all started just coming for prasadam. So these two points are the key things that come out of Srila Prabhupada's purports. Remembrance of God at the time of death and the importance of prasadam distribution. Mahatma Prabhu is looking at me, so I will not disappoint him. Yes. So today is the appearance day of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So we'll just spend some 5-7 minutes and we will end. So Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is a very great acharya in our disciplic succession. So we say Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vas Adi Gaurav Bhaktavinda. So one of the key personalities in the Panchatattva is Srivas Pandit. So Srivas Pandit, it is said that he had many brothers. Three brothers, somewhere it is said four, somewhere it is written three. But one of his brothers' name was Sri Nalina Pandit. Srivas Pandit's brother, Sri Nalina Pandit. Sri Nalina Pandit had a daughter called as Narayani Devi, which means Srivas Pandit had a niece whose name was Narayani Devi. Narayani Devi's husband was Vaikunthanatha Vipra. So to this couple, Narayani Devi and Vaikunthanatha Vipra, was born Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is the son of Narayani Devi and Vaikunthanatha Vipra. So Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur was born in the year 1507 on Krishna Dwadashi day of the month of Vaishakha. And his birth happened 4 years after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. So in Golok Vrindavan, it is mentioned that Lord Krishna has a nurse whose name is Ambika. Lord Krishna's personal nurse, Ambika. This Ambika has a sister named Kilimbika. Okay. Ambika is the nurse of Lord Krishna and Kilimbika is her sister of Ambika. Kilimbika used to eat Lord Krishna's remnants. Okay. While Ambika used to nurse Lord Krishna, Kilimbika will honor Lord Krishna's remnants. So, the Gaur Ganodesha Deepika, it mentions that Ambika, who was Lord Krishna's nurse, she came down as Malini, who was Srivas Pandit's wife. Ambika came down as Malini, Srivas Pandit's wife, while Kilimbika, her sister, came down as Narayani, who used to honor Lord Krishna's remnants. And Narayani is the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So, Narayani also received Lord Chaitanya's mercy, where Lord Chaitanya also used to give remnants to her during Gaur Leela. In fact, it is said that the Lord displayed his divine form. When the Lord displayed his divine form, which is the Mahaprakash Leela, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did Mahaprakash Leela in the house of Srivas Pandit, in Srivas Angan, when this was going on, Narayani was only a small child, 4 years old, very small child. But as soon as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started the Hare Krishna chanting, it is said that Narayani was intoxicated in Krishna Prem. So she, all kinds of Ashta Sattvika Bhavas dawned upon the 4 year old Narayani. So, and that Narayani is the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So which tells us how exalted a lineage Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur comes from. There is some confusion on the birthplace of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, whether it is Mamagachi or Kumarahatta. There is still some confusion. But it was very clear that he lived in a village called as Dhenuriya in the district Burdwan. It is also mentioned that he lost his father when he was in the womb of his mother. So when his father left his body, they moved to Srivas Pandit's house, and quite often, the mother and son, Narayani Devi and Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, as a young boy, he used to go there for playing with his other cousins. And that is where he received Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special blessings as a child. Now, having understood how special his mother was, the sister of Lord Krishna's nurse, it is not very surprising to note that Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in Lord Chaitanya's Leela was none other than Srila Vyasadev in Krishna Leela. So Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is the incarnation of Srila Vyasadev. So while Srila Vyasadev described the entire Sammam Bonam of Krishna's Leela in the Srimad Bhagavatam, being non-different from Vyasadev, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote the Bhagavatam of Chaitanya Leela. Srimad Bhagavatam Krishna Leela and Chaitanya Bhagavat written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Okay. So he wrote this book he scripted this in 1535, it is mentioned. Actually, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Bhagavatam which Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote, originally he titled it as Chaitanya Mangal. But at the same time, another exalted Acharya, Lochan Das Thakur, had also named his book as Chaitanya Mangal. Therefore, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur's treatise was renamed as Chaitanya Bhagavat. So, non-different from Vyasadeva. Now, so nectarian was the work of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat that it prompted Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who is the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, to say that this treatise of Vrindavan Das Thakur is so pure that even if a Muslim or an atheist hears his rendition of Gaur Leela, then such a person will immediately become a Vaishnava. And if a Vaishnava hears this, he will be given prema of Lord Krishna. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj also adds that no ordinary mortal could have ever written this kind of a book. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally spoken through the mouth of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Now, Vrindavan Das Thakur, his spiritual master, it is mentioned, is none other than Lord Nityananda. In fact, it is also mentioned that he was Lord Nityananda's last disciple. So, and being so, Vrindavan Das Thakur was very closely associated with, he was very close to Lord Nityananda. So, if you see his writings in Chaitanya Bhagavat, his writings are more tilted towards Lord Nityananda's Leela while summarizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said that he would elaborate. Now, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami would then take upon himself the job of elaborating all of Lord Chaitanya's Leela in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because the Chaitanya Bhagavat was heavily towards Lord Nityananda's Leela. Now, one very special aspect of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, Chaitanya Bhagavat, is his emphasis on avoiding Vaishnava Aparadha, on Sadhu Ninda and avoiding Vaishnava Aparadha, about which Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur warns us, saying very heavy words. He says, Eta Parihare Oje Papi Ninda Kare Tabhe Lathi Marun Tar Shirera Upare. Which means, even after being told how objectionable it is, if someone still blasphemes the Vaishnavas, then I will kick him in the head. Lathi marun. Lathi means lath, like not that lathi. Lathi marun. Shirera, kicking in the head. It's a very, very powerful statement in one sense. Okay, and he has repeated that in the Adi, Madhya and Antya Khandas of his Bhagavat. So thrice he has written. Now, we are cautioned by none other than Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself that if your mind ever thinks, how can such he write like this? It sounds a little bit, gross that, I'll kick you in the head. But lest your mind just goes in that direction, caution. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has cautioned us. Don't criticize him. You have no idea what his mood was when he is writing like that. In fact, what to speak of him? I myself will kick. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati also added to that. Okay. So, and I will do this kicking as my service. Whoever offends Vaishnavas. So, that is the most important lesson that we get from Vrindavan Das Thakur. Otherwise, he wouldn't repeat that thrice. Be very careful of Vaishnava Prad. At Mamagachi in Modrumadvip, in Nabadvip, Vrindavan Das Thakur established the deities of Nitai Gauranga and Srila Jagannath Dev. And he lived there as a celibate brahmachari and worshipped his beloved deities. It is mentioned that Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur had many disciples, including Gopinath Brahmachari, who was a descendant of Keshava Bharati. So, on the day of his appearance, we need to remind ourselves of his key message of avoiding Sadhu Ninda. And by avoiding that, we closely safeguard our devotional lives. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur Mahashaya ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Stop here and ask if any questions or comments.
Krishna is free from sickness, then why does he have a nurse?
Krishna is free from sickness, therefore why does he have a nurse? Very good question. So, there are two things. There is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada mentions in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam that the conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the conception of the Absolute Truth are not on the same level. Prabhupada writes that as a very opening line when he is writing the Srimad Bhagavatam. What does it mean? That, sorry, I'm just getting a cramp, so please don't mind. So, which means that Lord Krishna, he performs leelas as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many leelas are as such, where the opulence of Krishna is shown. Whereas Krishna as the absolute truth, that conception is higher. As the absolute truth, what is Lord Krishna? Known as, in Nectar of Devotion, how does Rupa Goswami describe him? As Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Akhila Rasamrita Murti means the personality who is the reservoir of all transcendental mellows. Okay? Put in simple language for your understanding, it means more important to Krishna than being God to all of us is to experience our love towards him. He loves to experience any gesture of love that we can give towards him. So sometimes Krishna puts himself in a problem such that his devotee has to come and address his difficulty. For example, we have the famous pastime of Krishna has a headache. Okay. Now can Krishna have a headache? Right. Just by his Ichha Shakti, he can sever the heads of others and cure the headache of others by his own desire. So what to speak of Krishna having a headache? But he still puts himself under that difficulty because all he wants to experience is the love of his devotees. So in one, so because why? Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Ras means he wants to enjoy these mellows of being cared for. Krishna cares for the whole world all the time. Okay. So Krishna also expects that out of affection, his devotees also care for him. That is what is bhakti. That is why it is called Krishna Prema. Otherwise, it would be only called as doing services to Krishna in the mood of servant. But here, Krishna also wants love. In the mood of servant, in the mood of a friend, he wants love. Because his friends are... What do Krishna's friends do with him? Are they paying obeisance to Lord Krishna? His friends? What do they do? Yeah, they are playing with him. And in playing, what do they do to Krishna? They wrestle with Krishna. Sometimes they hit him also. By playing, right? They wrestle with him. When wrestling, obviously you have to tackle Krishna, right? So many things they do. They steal his box. So many things happen. So why does the... So this is the concept of the absolute truth. This is different from Lord Krishna being the Supreme Lord. Is that okay? Yeah? Yes? So as Anirudh Prabhu rightly mentioned, nurse is not only about sick, nurse is also about tender loving care. So that kind of nurse. Yes, Prabhu. Prabhu, you have a question. Yes, okay.
The previous verse mentioned that how God says that his mother will be killed and brother will be killed. One of the aspects of Vaishnava is like his compassion. Like, so why did Guru Maharaj say that, okay, this is bad, getting killed by mother or sister?
So, why was Dhruva Maharaj, why did he not demonstrate compassion for his stepmother when Lord Krishna ordained that they be killed? So this is my understanding and I would be corrected by the other seniors in the room. This question also came to my mind. So the way I have reconciled this idea is that Lord Vishnu kept the conch on Dhruva Maharaj's head by which all knowledge of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, all the imports of Vedic knowledge, everything dawned upon Dhruva Maharaj. So, in a moment's time, he moved from being a small boy seeking a material desire to a pure devotee of the Lord. Okay. Now, a pure devotee of the Lord, what do you mean by surrender? To becoming a surrendered devotee of the Lord is aligning yourself with the desire of the Lord. So, when the conchal was placed and he became a pure devotee, where is the question of Dhruva Maharaj countering the Lord's plan? It was the Lord's plan that they leave their body in such a way. So Dhruva Maharaj, so then when you are countering the Lord's plan, that means the devotee is trying to say that I know more of compassion than what you know. So Dhruva Maharaj is simply accepting that this is the Lord's plan. This is how I reconcile that question within my own heart. That the Lord, whenever the Lord plans, the Lord's plan for a devotee is not like, you know, the terrorist, you know, putting a bomb or setting fire to a house, you know, and dying. When the Lord has a plan for the stepmother, there is a purification also, because that is happening as a part of the Lord's leela. So Dhruva Maharaj might have been convinced at that point in time that this is the Lord's leela. So he did not oppose that plan. Just like Arjuna also. Arjuna, in fact, at least this was the Lord's plan to kill them. But Krishna is instructing Arjuna, you kill now, you know, your own grandsire, Bhishma. Right? Even in that situation is even worse than this situation. So then Arjuna is showing compassion and Krishna is correcting him. This is my plan. You don't show compassion. I have already decided to kill them. So why are you coming in? You have only a choice. Now you be an instrument in my plan or you choose not to be. If you are instrument in my plan, then you will be purified and you will not get karma. And that is what is written in the Ishvapanishad also. That verse is there. Na karma lipyate nare. You can go on working for thousands of years, just accepting the will of the Lord, and no karma will touch you. Though externally the events will appear as though they are very sinful in nature, but it will not impact. Does that address? But this is my understanding, but I'll be corrected if some other understanding is there. Anil Prabhu, you had. The question was, why did Dhruva Maharaj not show compassion for his stepmother and his stepbrother when Lord Vishnu in the earlier verse said that, you know, I am going to, they will be killed in a forest fire and hunting in forest fire. So why did Dhruva Maharaj not tell him that, please don't kill them in the forest fire? That's what's his question. Thank you. You had a point you were going to make earlier.
It's interesting that, just a comment, it's interesting that Prabhupada gives us a definition of the Sankirtan of Sankirtan Jagya, and that is learn how to go back home, back to Godhead, and teach others. This is the purpose. And then he says, and that's the sacrifice. Right? And then you'll easily remember Krishna at the time of death, if that's what you do, and distribute prasad. So I think we're on the right track.
Yes.
If we do that, if we continue to do that, then we should be okay.
Nevutrabhu ki? It is our temple, so we have a great program here.
And, you know, if you look at the seven purposes of Islam, in writing again, Prabhupada basically describes, you know, that we should be educating people in the Sankirtan process, and we should be teaching them the skills, the techniques of spiritual life, to write the imbalance of values in the world. So that supports what Prabhupada's saying in the purport. And so in one sense, we don't have to worry about becoming Krishna at the time of death. If we absorb ourselves in doing these things, save ourselves, save others, and distribute the dharma, you know, like preaching, and we should be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. And of course, you made a nice point. And if we do that, and because that's pleasing to Krishna, then, as Prabhupada mentioned, if we somehow or other incapacitated or whatever, Prabhupada makes a point that Krishna will insert himself into the mind of the devotee. So we don't have to worry, well, probably shouldn't worry about it, but if we worry about these things now, then we'll think about Krishna later on. Because that's basically what you're habituated to do, right? And
And sometimes people see some of the activities of preaching as a material thing, but actually if we absorb ourselves in managing that, our spiritual progress and helping others, even though it might appear to be somewhat not directly so-called spiritual, still it is, because it's supporting that.
Thank you, Prabhu. Someone, yeah, Michael. Go ahead. You had a question?
So, thank you so much for coming to this class.
Thank you.
Regarding charity, I heard, like, I would like to make a comment. I heard from a counselor that we should give charity in a mood that we are not the giver, we are just, we should be grateful while giving the charity.
Very good. Yeah.
Maybe you can give some suggestions on this.
Nothing. I'm not qualified to give suggestions. All I can say is, yes, you know, the principle is right. Rupa Goswami has said, Dadati prati granati guhyam akhyati prachati bhukte bhogate bhojate chayvas sadvari priti lakshanam. So yes, there is giving, give and take which happens. And as Prabhupada writes here, the biggest charity is giving the holy name. And Prabhupada writes that also, if you read the Nectar of Instruction, even in that purport, Prabhupada writes that, you know, in ISKCON, we want to give the holy name by creating the life membership program. So Prabhupada writes that. So, yeah. Even prasadam will not be enough. Even if you give prasadam. Pardon?
You're carrying prasadam, it gets over.
Yeah, it will get over. Yes.
Then if you are from that background, from that family background, that you have to give something, then you only have to find something. So, I don't know.
Keep prasadam.
Yeah.
Keep
prasadam. Master Prabhu?
First of all, I must thank you for a very wonderful lecture.
Thank you.
Second point I wanted to say is, I myself was attracted by prasadam. That's how I started going to the spiritual programs. If there was no prasadam, I would never go. So prasadam is very important. Prabhupada also said the same thing. There are no programs complete without prasadam.
You would have come if it wasn't prasadam. They stop waiting as we'll stop coming.
A lot of people will stop them if they look at
it. Yes. Very true.
I tell you a funny story. Kuma always used to tell me, you can have a wonderful program, but if the prasadam's bad, then the devotees will always complain about how prasadam doesn't be good. But you can have not a very good program, but good prasadam, then everyone should still be happy. Now, if Vrindavan Das Thakur is the Vyasadeva to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, why did Srila Prabhupada concentrate on the Chaitanya Charitamrita and translate that rather than the Chaitanya Bhagavad?
So, the immediate answer which comes to me, because based on whatever limited that I have done as preparation for this class, that's the only thing that I know of, that as I mentioned, you know, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami specifically mentions that being more tilted towards Lord Nityananda, Srila Vrindavanadas Thakur focused more on Lord Nityananda's pastimes, and he only summarized the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was heavily tilted towards Lord Nityananda. So, and that's why Krishnadas Gaviraj Goswami says that, therefore, I am now elaborating many things which were missed out, you know, that he did not talk about. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami focused on the entire Gaur Lila, be it Lord Nityananda or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whereas Chaitanya Bhagavat tilts more towards Lord Nityananda. That's my understanding.
Now, another comment for there's a, you mentioned a warning that Vrindavan Das Thakur says that we shouldn't blaspheme the lotus.
Yes.
Right? And he says, you know, if somebody's blaspheming the devotees, then I'll kick him in the head. So, that's part of a paradox, isn't it, in one sense, because devotees sometimes feel like they're being blasphemed if they're being told what to do.
Oh, you're blaspheming me.
Right. But there seems to be an indication there that there are grounds, justified grounds, for disciplining others. Right? And disciplining others is not harassment or blaspheming, or just like your child, if your son misbehaves, right, and you're aware of it, if you don't do something about it, then that's a fault, right? And say if I see you hitting your son, not that you will do it, but just in case I did, I would think, why is he hitting his son? I would think he's disciplining his son because his son's done something wrong. You know what I mean? So it's kind of interesting, isn't it? On the one hand, we're told not to criticize or not to, you know, unnecessarily find fault in others. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that we should never see fault. Right, and sometimes, because we're teachers and we're acting as gurus, on the order of our guru, sometimes the guru has to discipline the disciple. Right? And that's not blaspheming or criticizing. That's the responsibility of the guru. And why Vrindavan Das Thakur says, if I see somebody blaspheming the devotees, I'll kick him in the head. Right? Which is quite, the example I like to give is the story of Shivananda Shane. If Shivananda Shane didn't make proper arrangements for his devotees, then Lord Nityananda kicked him in the chest. It's kind of like, what? And Shivananda Shane then said, what thanks do I get from the devotees? You know, I do all this work for you, but what do? You criticize me. He said, oh, I'm sorry, but please forgive me. Despite the fact that Lord Nityananda kicked him, what? So, you know, interesting. It's an interesting dynamic.
Yep.
Right? Where Vrindavan Das Thakur says, don't blaspheme the devotees if you do not.
In fact, Shivanand Sen's relatives had taken offense to Lord Nityananda kicking him. That also, I happened to read. Relatives, yeah. They took offense. Those who could not understand the mood of Lord. But Shivananda Sen himself was very ecstatic. He said, I want to receive more kicks from Lord Nityananda.
I deserve
more. And Kesha Prabhu also mentions many times, you know, where we are studying under Kesha Prabhu, Srimad Bhagavatam, last many years. So Kesha Prabhu mentions very often in the class that Srila Prabhupada's chastisement, how it was. He said that when Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to always, Kesha Prabhu is a disciple of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So when Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to chastise, Kesha Prabhu said that it was very, very heavy. So once Tamal Krishna Maharaj told his disciples, saying that, "You think I am heavy? You have no idea what it was like to be chastised by Srila Prabhupada." In Melbourne, here. Yeah.
But then, when he knew I was so upset, he kept me with him all day. I'd go out with him, I'd have lunch with him, I just had to take rest, I had to take rest with him. So, what he, see, and this is the thing, even though somebody may chastise you, they also have the other side of showing great affection. And so we should understand that the chastisement is actually, just like a parent, it's a show of love for the child that the parent is concerned enough to say, "Hey, don't do that, it's not good for you." So it's the two sides of the coin. It's actually a show of affection. So you know, when your ditch mother's kicking you, it's like, it's better than he ignores you.
Yes.
That's worse. You know? Children do this. Have you ever had friends come to your house? Oh, my brothers and I used to do this to my parents. Friends would come to visit my mum and dad in the evening, and so then we'd misbehave. Because the parents are showing affection to their friends, they're ignoring us. And so the kids will inevitably misbehave, so they again get the attention of their parents. But I don't suggest that for it's probably getting the attention to you, don't misbehave.
Sometimes not showing anger to kids is a weakness, because like we don't have that level, and if we don't show anger, what happens is we build up anger inside us and then it comes out and it hurts children actually. So better than that is when we are not outraged with the anger, when we know what is right and what is wrong. We are in the right room, then we show anger because we are in control. Then children actually feel that they are, that parents are concerned. So anger should be shown in such a way that children actually feel and support children, because children actually get hurt and it creates problems.
Thank you, Bob. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.